let us go to New Canaan, Connecticut, where we're joined by Pierre McGuire, busy going through his analytics numbers this morning, sponsored by the folks at Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Pierre?
I'm good. I like players from Chelyabinsk. I think Sean drafted one of them, Sergei Gonchar, who might be the best player ever out of Chelyabinsk. That's where Dadanov is from, so I'm a big fan of players that come from there.
Yeah, beautiful little town and near the Ural Mountains, and yeah, nice little disco there right in the hotel.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's about 1,000 miles away from Moscow, JR. Not an easy place to get to if you're driving. A little bit easier to fly there. But
interesting, when I flew there, Pierre, though, is that the plane was only about 50 feet off the air the whole trip. I remember us always saying, a little Aeroflot action. It's like, hey, don't you guys want to go a bit higher, especially as we approach the mountains?
One of the most amazing things I've ever experienced in Russian travel was I remember getting on a plane, and there was a big window in the nose of the plane, and I go, what is that for? And they go, that's the person that's steering the plane. I go, what do you mean? Don't the pilots do that? They go, yeah, the pilots fly the plane. This guy directs them. There's no radar.
And this is in front of you, and everyone will tell you, early scouting going to Russia, JR, the domestic Aeroflot. If you're flying international, I'd take the direct flight from Moscow to New York to Moscow. The international, I'll never forget, like literally the person having their dog sitting in the seat next. The seat belts usually never worked, and usually you could just take the window out if you wanted as well, so. It's all lots of differences, right?
It's a really different way to travel, JR. I think you should experience it one time in your life.
Yeah, you know what? I'd love to go to Moscow someday, but I'm good.
Moscow's great. Yeah. And so is St. Petersburg. It's just different when you leave those two places. Just different. Anyways.
Tell us about Evgeny Dadanov.
Very good signing.
I think it surprised a lot of people from all aspects. First of all, Ottawa hasn't made a large dent in free agents in a long, long time. So that aspect, but also the money, the term, the player. Tell us why you think it all came together that Dadanov ends up in Ottawa.
I just think he was overlooked. I think everybody, when you looked at the Florida Panthers roster, people were looking at Mike Hoffman. And Dadanov really didn't get a lot of love. And there were other names out there that maybe were a little bit younger. He's 31, so he's not exactly a young guy, but I think what Sean was just saying, he didn't play a ton of hockey, and he hasn't. At this level, he hasn't, for sure. I mean, he's low mileage on that. But I think he might have got overlooked just because the Hoffman thing was getting so much attention. And I think there are a lot of people around the league that are still surprised that Mike Hoffman hasn't been signed.
Who's the better player?
They're different. Dadanov's probably more of a complete player. He can do it in a lot of different ways. I think Hoffman might be more of a pure scorer. But Dadanov can put up numbers. He can really shoot the puck. He can squeeze it real quick. And that's something, obviously, in this league where they close a gap so quickly on you. When you can shoot the puck like he can, I think that really helps. But I think as a complete player, I think Dadanov's probably a little bit better. As a pure scorer, Hoffman's probably just a tinge better, but not by a lot.
I think a lot of people look at this as a real good value signing for Ottawa as 100%. Well in terms of the term and the money. So I'll do what I always do when it comes to trades and these types of things. I'll flip it on its ear and I'll say to you, Pierre McGuire, why wouldn't the Florida Panthers want to keep him at that term and dollar?
I think they're just going through a different situation in terms of how they want to be. And they've got a new manager. They've got a new assistant manager in Paul Fenton. You know, obviously, Billy Zito wants to come in and put his kind of stamp on it. And I think they want to go with some different types of players, and they don't want to have the same kind of dressing room as they had a year ago. I don't think that's a reflection on Dadanov. I think it's just a reflection on they're changing the message around the room, and they want to get different players in there. I think that's more than anything else what this is about.
For Florida, trying to make forward progress, they've made the trade with Pittsburgh. They're going to, they lost Dadanov, and I'm assuming Luce Hoffman.
Yep.
A team that was on the edge of making the playoffs, Pierre, they certainly have not improved themselves.
Well, you and I would probably see it that way. They're probably saying, well, we are getting better because we want to become a harder team to play against. We want to be more robust. We want to be a little bit more energy-wise, competitive. And so they're going in with their vision. That's every manager's opportunity to build the team in their vision. And I think, you know, they want to become a more of a hard-edged type of a team. It clearly looks like that with the type of signings they're making or trades that they're making and the people that they're letting go. So I think that, you know, that's probably part of it is just the managerial vision for the team.
It's funny, the Sens put out sort of a highlight pack of his some of his goals last year, and the first three were all these kind of threaded needle passes by Huberdeau to him standing in front and him whacking it right into the net. Yep. The Sens don't have a Jonathan Huberdeau kind of player, but if you look at who Ottawa has right now? Is there a natural fit for with a Dadonov of the forwards that are on the team right now, or that you can think of?
I'd have to think about that. That's kind of interesting coming out of the box like that, but I'd have to think about something like that.
Like, does he work better, I guess, with a real good playmaker or a power forward guy like Tkachuk or what?
Yeah, he'd probably be better with a playmaking type of a player. I know you're going to probably laugh, but I'd like to see how it would work out early on with a Colin White to try to get White going offensively, not just, you know, pitching old Colin White and saying, now you're going to be a one-dimensional checking kind of a player. I'd like to see him get an opportunity like that, but again, I don't know how they're going to do it.
I actually said that in the first hour. Do you not look at this when White and Tkachuk were basically with Stone? This guy has a lot. Now, not the reverse ass, but he's got the ability to make plays is exactly what White needs, like Stone did.
Well, I didn't know that you had said that, but that's the kind of guy that I would like to see get an opportunity to play with that, not for sure.
So Simmer brought up a good point earlier this morning, I thought. So the Sens have certainly gone out and made a big effort to try to improve the goaltending and giving a big extension at some large dollars to Matt Murray, and they make this move yesterday and significant dollars. But the defense at this point, Pierre, they've kind of gone, we'll say stopgap for now, and I know they've got some good prospects coming, but we know how long it takes defensemen to kind of graduate, and we know they also all probably won't turn out to be NHL players. So why do you think they've gone about kind of team building the way that they have with kind of the defense at this point looking like sort of the sore point of the team?
Well, I just think, again, it's harder to find defense. That's one of the reasons why I thought this draft was so darn good for them. Jake Sanderson's... He's going to be really good. It's not going to take him long to get in there. I think Tyler Cleven is another one that I think can eventually, and it won't take as long as a lot of people think just because he plays more of a simple game. I think he can kind of jump in there. I don't know about, bad-mouthing, and I don't think you're bad-mouthing, but seeing the negative things on their defense, I think they're actually going to turn it in pretty quick into a very competitive team on defense. So, again, I know they're not a lot of big names, but their team is a little bit better than people think. And you've got one guy in particular that's a star player, and that's Thomas Chabot, and you can build around somebody like that, and that's what I think they're trying to do more than anything else.
You may be able to build around him, but are you protecting him with the right side of Brown, Zaitsev, Gabranson, and Zub?
Well, you are. You talking about physical? Or
No. None of them are good enough to play with him.
Nobody's going to run after him, I can tell you that. You got two big trees. And Gudbranson and Brown, they're both big guys, and Gudbranson can get a little squirrely. I mean, he can. So people around the league know that. I don't think anybody's going to be taking runs at Thomas Chabot.
Yeah, but I don't know if that protection that can't play Pierre, if that really works. And I say that in the sense of Mark Methot wasn't an overly robust guy, but he was a big guy that could at least get in the way in the scrums with Carlson.
So,
no, he is. But my point is, hey, I understand that. But when you load up again with guys that none of these guys could play regular, this guy's going to play 30 minutes. I don't know that any of them are capable either.
Yeah, that's fair.
An ability. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's fair.
And for the forward group on paper and the goalies, Pierre, I just kind of look at it and think, wow, the defense right now just doesn't quite match up. Where I think you get really excited about the forward and the decoy or our goalies for this year.
Yeah, no, I agree with. I think that's more than fair. You know, it's not easy to find defensemen, but the one thing I like is they've drafted some, and two of them in particular, Sanderson and Cleven, in this draft. I think they're going to be really good players, and I don't think it's going to take – I think Sanderson's going to be a one-and-done at North Dakota. I really do. Jacob Bernard Docker's another guy that's just down the street, I think a year away coming into play. So I think the cavalry's on the way to fix it. I really do.
No, and I agree with that. I just look at a couple subtle moves recently. Is that DeMello, at a low cost, even what he signed in Winnipeg, would have fit with Chabot to protect your investment. And Borowiecki's a better player than Gabranson or Brown, as to why you wouldn't have made two subtle moves like that.
Yeah, that part I don't know. Yeah. I just don't know. I don't know what was going through their minds on Borowiecki. I just don't know.
Does Dadonov only get 3 years, Pierre, because that's where we're at right now with in terms of teams, budgets, cap, all that other stuff? Because, as I said off the top, boy, that a guy with those kind of numbers as late as last year in free agency would have got, I would think, 5 years minimum.
Well, yeah, no, but that's what we talked about for a long time now. This is the new NHL. And the fact that people and agents in particular are going to have to wrap their head around the fact that we're not going to see those kind of numbers for a while. We're just not going to. And, ask Mike Hoffman how comfortable it is right now. Not easy when you don't have a job. It's the job, the seats are starting to fill up here, and there are not going to be a lot of jobs left. And you're going to have to take what the team's prepared to give you. That's just in the NHL for a while now. It's going to be.
Do you feel like this is trending towards, well, I feel bad for Duclair, that this is kind of a one-year deal and maybe a minimal raise on the 1.6 he made last year?
Perry? I don't even know if you get a raise.
Yeah,
That's the new NHL.
Yeah.
You know, if you go back to when I was in the bubble, I was telling you guys, there's a whole different era coming. And people didn't really believe it. And I'm telling you, when you're around these people every day in the bubble and there's nowhere else to go and you're talking straight hockey business, it's scary. This is just, I think it's a 1 or 2 year adjustment period. And then maybe we get back to where we need to be. But until there are fans in the building, this is the kind of business a hockey business is going to be.
Would this be, and the Ottawa Senators have a lot of good young prospects, and if you want to talk about kind of team building and your opportunity to set your team up for a lot of years with so much uncertainty out there, if you're so, and it's a roll of the dice, but if you're sold on a Josh Norris and a Drake Batherson, and Brady Tkachuk's at a different level, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But those guys as kind of, you know, if not in your core, right there, long-term, you know, signing them to longer-term deals that you might get a little bit less dollars. Like, would you take that gamble at this point in time with those types of players?
I think that's a really good point. But you can't do it with everybody. You got to identify who your core seven are or your core five are and go with them. And then everybody else has to fall in line. But I definitely, it's something I would think about. Absolutely. I think it's a really valid point.
With a small upgrade on D, do you see Ottawa being a playoff contender on paper right now?
I do. And a lot of it's going to be youthful enthusiasm. Some of it's going to be stability and goal. A lot of it's going to be the way they're going to be able to, I think, play a lot of different ways offensively. They'll be able to ground and pound. They'll be able to outskill you a little bit and outspeed you a little bit in the neutral zone. I see a lot of positives there for that group. And, you know, again, in 2 years, people are going to be saying, wow, I didn't realize these guys were that good. And there are a lot of people around the league that still aren't identifying how good Ottawa is, and they're making a mistake. Telling you right now, Montreal and Ottawa are going to be lethal. They're going to be very, very dangerous.
I did the Corsi of their forwards.
Yeah, how'd you do?
I don't even know what it means.
I know that you're a team that another Eastern Conference team you're very bullish on is the New York Rangers. They did some business yesterday as well. Tony D'Angelo, the defenseman, gets a 2-year deal, $4.8 million. He was the fourth highest scoring defenseman in the NHL last year, and that's with Adam Fox being on that team as well. Is it going to be a long-term spot for this guy, do you think, Pierre? Because defensively, I think he struggles quite a bit. Like, what's the future for him in New York, do you think?
That's a good question, too. I mean, the biggest thing with Anthony is he is a lot about offense. You know, you think about it, he can really get you going offensively because he can really skate. I think the one thing, though, when you look at it for the Rangers, they're a fun team. They're must-watch TV. They really are. And the biggest thing with Tony is he's a New Jersey kid, so he's kind of a local guy. For the Rangers, you know, originally a first-round pick of Tampa, and it just never materialized for him in some of the different places, whether it was Arizona or Tampa. But he's very, very good offensively. I think everybody knows that. And I thought last year he actually became a little bit more responsible defensively as well, plays with a lot of energy. And I think, you know, again, this is a real indication of where the market is right now. That's why he gets a 2-year deal, and it's for less than $5 million a year.
Wanted to ask you about Zdeno Chara. His agent is Matt Cater, right?
Correct.
Who you know very well in Boston, and an insider training on TSN last night. Matt Cater said, "quote We're looking at all options as far as Chara's future go."
Yeah.
Is there a chance that Zdeno Chara is going to play for a team other than plays for a team other than Boston?
I'm just going to tell you, I talked to Matt a fair bit, and last week I was talking to him, and I said, what's going to happen? Is Chara going to sign right out of the box with Boston? He says, we're in no rush. We're just going to take our time. He's very comfortable where he is right now. And so I took him at his word, and that's exactly what they've done. They've taken their time. The fact that they're going to look around at other teams, and that's out there publicly, it might tell you that maybe the Bruins aren't in a rush to get him signed. So I haven't spoken with Matt probably since last week, so I'll probably give him a call over the weekend. But I just, again, the fact that they've done that or he said that publicly tells me that maybe the Bruins aren't in a rush to get something done.
How are you feeling about this as a sales for a right side in Ottawa? Zaitsev, Zub, and Big Z. What do you think?
Z on the right side?
I just throw that out there. Yeah, I was just stirring it up in the
front. Playing on the right side anytime soon.
Well, he's turned so much to his left. What if we start turning him the other way?
I wonder, you know, as we saw, you know, earlier this week where the comments of Brendan Gallagher's agent, all of a sudden, boom, you know, he comes out and says, you know, talks are broken off, boom, they got a deal within a day. I wonder if this is also an agent kind of getting the word out there of like, look, Bruins, if you want Chara back, let's get down to business here. Otherwise, we're looking around. I wonder if that may be at play as well.
Yeah, that I don't know, and I can't speculate on it, but I just can tell you what Matt told me last week is that they were going to take their time with this whole thing. In terms of the Gallagher situation, I thought it was handled really well by both sides. And I also think, and I said this to you on the air, you know, Jeff Molson's a passionate guy, and he understands the important players in the marketplace, and Brendan Gallagher is a really important player in that marketplace, just like Carey Price and Shea Weber, and you know, it's Jeff's team. And at some point, I think he probably got involved too. Say, well, wait a second here, we're not going to play this game. This is an important player. This is a key part of our future, and we have a real good team, and they do. I think Montreal set themselves to be very, very good for a while. So again, you know, if you're the owner of a team and you see a player that might be alienated in the process, you want to fix that pretty quick. And I think they were able to do that in Montreal.
The other name that came up was Patrick Laine again, and his name's been out there a lot. Right. And they talked to his agents, who include Ottawa's own Andy Scott, and said, look, he hasn't asked for a trade, and he is not going to be a training camp holdout. But it would be of a mutual benefit for him to be moved along. Seems to be the consensus. So as the dust settles now on free agency, we're through the draft. Is it a possible, like, our teams just kind of laying in the weeds? And are we, because that would be, whatever he gets traded, if he does, that'll be a big deal. Are there teams out there that would still deal for Line A at this point?
I think there are. I do. I think there are. And, you know, I'm not going to say which ones. I don't think that's appropriate right now. But I think there are, and I think it's going to be very interesting to watch. I mean, with Patrick, the biggest thing is, you know what, when you get him, you need to know what you're getting. And you're not getting a guy that's going to be a stout defensive player that you're going to put on the ice at the end of a game to defend the lead. You're getting a player that his entire life has always been able to score, and that's always been his thing. You know, you look at his NHL numbers, they're gaudy in a good way. I mean, they're gaudy. And, you know, I don't think he's ever scored less. You'd have to correct me, but I don't think he's ever scored less than 28 goals in any one season he's been in the league. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. So, no, it's all about offense with him, and I think there's some teams out there that probably could use some of his offense. And I think if he is in the market, I think he'll get picked up.
Yeah, and last year I thought he really improved and showed that he was willing to do some different things, become more a complete player. Columbus is the obvious. Want to see him in Torts because I think it would be a beautiful relationship.
Well, Jeremy, right?
But and Laine, is this also, in hearing what Andy Scott and Mike Liut saying, feels a little bit like Domi, where it's not just about the cash and the long-term contract. Philosophically, they just feel like the coach isn't using him properly.
Well, that, again, everybody's got their own vision for how they want their team to be built and how they want their team to play. And if he doesn't fit into that with what Paul Maurice is trying to do out there, then maybe it's best that he does move along.
All right, well, we will see what the weekend brings. There's still a few names that are out there that are of interest, and who
are
knows?
Are you surprised, by the way, that Hoffman hasn't been signed yet, you guys?
I see Elliot Friedman said last night that he's looking at a one-year deal with somebody, so potentially could come. So maybe that's where it's at.
Shocking,
maybe,
though, don't you find?
Would you take him on your team? I wouldn't.
No, but I'm just
no. I know
because
the
offense is such a premium in the league.
Yeah, he was such a one-dimensional player here, Pierre, and having nothing to do with the off ice part. But no, I know what you're saying. Still, hey, it's hard to find goals. But hey, there's Duclair after scoring 23 last year, sitting at home as well.
I heard people on different shows on free agency day saying he would be one of the first guys signed.
Talking about Hoffman.
Yeah, Hoffman.
Yeah.
And big dollars and big term, and that definitely has not materialized.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it comes as soon as today. We'll find out, and we'll talk about it with you after the weekend. Enjoy your weekend, Pierre. We look forward to chatting with you again on Monday.
Thanks for an awesome week, you guys. Take care. Be safe, everybody. Enjoy your families. Take care.